If you would, find in your Bibles, we're going to be flipping around different places, but we're going to start out in 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter number 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. That comes right before 2 Chronicles. So if you find 2 Chronicles, go to the left a few pages. Boy, tough crowd this morning. As you're finding that, let me pray for us. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is a holy book and it's a living word. Thank you that we can never get to the bottom of it. That the more that we study it, the more that it speaks to us, and the more we try to understand, the more we realize how great you are. And that just as we can never fully comprehend you, though we can comprehend what you've given to us in your word, there's no way that we can ever get to the bottom. There's no way that we can ever get all out of the Bible that's there as you continue to speak. Lord, speak to us through your word this morning. Lord, let it give us knowledge about who you are and about Jesus and about who he is and what he has come to do. But Lord, don't let it just stop at knowledge. Let it enter our hearts. Let it change our lives. Lord, let it change the way we think about ourselves, think about the kingdom of God, think about others. Lord, let it change our actions. Lord, we thank you. Leave it up to your Spirit to do that in us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll talk to you a few minutes before we start reading about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is actually one of the more ancient cities. One of the first places we find it is when Melchizedek comes, and he is the king of Salem. Salem is kind of the shortened form of Jerusalem. Of course, Abraham makes the sacrifice to Melchizedek. We also find Jerusalem starting to enter in the book of Judges. The people of God with Joshua, the people of Israel, went into the promised land, and it says that they actually took Jerusalem, the people of Judah, tribe of Judah did, but they didn't quite fully take it. Don't exactly know how all that works. It doesn't give us a lot of details, but it looks to be that the Jebusites, part of the Canaanite group, still stayed in Jerusalem, and they held on to it as a stronghold. Jerusalem is a very, very old word, not initially a Hebrew word, although the Hebrew language kind of grabbed hold of it. And as old as we can find it, the Egyptians are some of the first language group that we see Jerusalem. And what it means is the pillar of the god Salem, Shalem. So it's actually a false god, but it's the city of God of Salem or Shalem. Shalem. The city of God. Of Shalem. I know most of you who have done any sort of word study, it's Shalom, it's peace. And the Jews kind of adopted that type of idea, so it comes into the idea of the city of peace. But initially, it is the city of God, the pillar of God. We find once again that the Canaanites have Jerusalem as a stronghold. David is now the king. And in 1 Chronicles 11, it says this, verse 4, then David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, that is to Jebus, kind of a shortened form of the Jebusites. And the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, were there. The inhabitants of Jebus said to David, you shall not enter here, Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion. That is the city of David. Now David had said, whoever strikes down a Jebusite first shall be chief and commander. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first, so he became chief. Then David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore it was called the city of David. He built the city all around from the Milo even to the surrounding area, and Joab repaired the rest of the city. David became greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. If you read more of the scripture, number one, Jerusalem, we think of Jerusalem as kind of a big place. And in this time, it was probably around 15 acres. Some of you have 15 acres, and you know what that's about. That's the entire city of Jerusalem at the time. Under Solomon, when it expanded, and they expanded onto Mount Moriah and built a temple there, it increased to about 37 acres. Just to kind of give you an idea of the size of the place. It wasn't a sprawling city like Franklin. It was a little bitty place, but it was a stronghold. Jerusalem is situated on top of a hill, but with hills surrounding it, so that you almost really couldn't even see it until you got on top of the hill and looked down and saw it on another hill. And so it was on a high place, so that it was very defensible. A wall around it. David went up and they found a hole that they had dug for water to come in, and that's how David and his men were able to get in and to take the city. And when they had taken the city fully, unlike his predecessors and his family of Judah, he called it the city of David. He called it by his own name. We see that David is the one who he rescues, if you will, this city that is supposed to be, it's from his own tribe of Judah. This is supposed to be his. This is supposed to be his tribe's land. And he goes in and he takes it from the enemy. Not only does he take it, but he names it after himself. He fortifies it. He builds it up. And he makes it into his capital city, the city of Zion. If you will, flip over to the book of Ephesians with me. Book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2. David redeems, he captures, he takes Jerusalem back from the enemy. He calls it his own. He names it after himself, the city of David, and he builds it up. You should probably realize by now that what I'm going to show you is how Jesus does the exact same thing to us. Look at Ephesians 2, starting in verse 19. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Did you see that? The idea that Paul has here is he's taking each one of you and he is building you into a temple. Say, okay, I'll have a Mike here and I'll put a John here. I'll put Danny over here. Chad. I'm going to go with Gene on this next row. You get what I'm saying? And Paul here is saying, God is taking living stones, because we know that in Acts it says That God does not dwell in a place made with human hands, but what he wants is a living, breathing tabernacle for himself. And he takes the saints and he puts those in each place. Flip over just a couple of pages to Ephesians 5. This is going to seem a little bit disjointed, but I want to show you this. I'm going to pull it all together here in just a moment. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So this tabernacle that he's building, first of all, he had to redeem. Right? Every one of us, before Jesus came into our lives, we were in the kingdom of darkness. And I don't care how good you were. I know our girls accepted the Lord. Most of them, they all accepted the Lord at a very young age. Okay? I did. Ruth did. I don't know about everybody, each one of you all, but I don't care how good you were. Every one of us were in the kingdom of darkness. And when Jesus came in, he snatched you and brought you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He redeemed you. He made you into a new creation, a new creature. We've talked about that, right? Even as David went and took back this city that was supposed to be theirs in the first place, Jesus came and you should have been God's, but no, the devil came along and brought death into the world, and Jesus came and he took you back. And he begins to build with living stones, who also happen to be the bride of Christ. See, we need to make sure that we also see, not only are you a living stone, but when he brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light, he made you into something new. I've said this many times before, that one of the greatest things that we need as Christians is to be able to see ourselves how Christ sees us. Oftentimes we know that we're redeemed, but we're living back here because we never see ourselves as redeemed. We don't see us as the spotless bride of Christ. We see us as just a sinner who's barely getting to heaven by the skin of our teeth. Come on. You see, if we're stuck over here and we're never seeing how God sees us, we will never make it to where he wants us to be. We must make the change from seeing ourselves as just a sinner. Were we a sinner saved by grace? Absolutely. Okay? But if you never make the change to being able to see yourself as Jesus sees you, as his spotless bride, you will not fully enter into the purposes of God in your life today. Because all that will hold you back. Let me show you another scripture, and then I want to hopefully bring this home a little bit. Flip over to the book of Revelation. Look in Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation 3, verse number 12. Revelation 3, 12. See if this sounds familiar. I was trying to, hopefully this will all start to pull everything together that I've been talking about. You'll understand why I was jumping from here to here. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he will not go out from it anymore. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God. This is Jesus speaking. The new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Did you catch that? Let's go to this next one. Flip over to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Do not postpone this. What we read in Ephesians 5, who does Paul say that you are? Spotless and without wrinkle? Present yourself to Christ as what? His bride. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Who's the bride? We are. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. What did Paul say? Without spot or wrinkle, blameless. You think Paul and John are saying the same thing? Right? Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Flip over a page to Revelation 21. Starting in verse 10. Now, in Revelation 3, what do we just see? That he said that we are in a pillar. We are pillars in what? Christ's temple, right? Verse 10 of Revelation 21. He carried me away in the Spirit into a great and high mountain, showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was very costly stone, a stone of crystal clear jasper. Had a great high wall with 12 gates. At the gates, 12 angels, the names were written on them, which are the names of the tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east and 3 on the north and 3 on the south and 3 on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. And on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Did you catch that? Is that what Paul just said in Ephesians? Don't postpone this. Paul is saying, you know, God is building a temple, but that temple, well, I'm gonna show you that in just 1 second. That dwelling place for God is made of living stones, the foundation being the apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And here John sees it. Except this time, the temple is a city. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its width, and he measured the city with the rod. Its length and width and height are equal. Okay, for you mathematicians out here, okay? That's not me, all right? Me and math, we don't mix very well. Some of you guys, tell me if something is as long and as wide and as high as it is, all the same, what is it? A cube. It's an exact cube. Does anybody remember from the Old Testament, we find something that is an exact cube in the Old Testament, 10 by 10 by 10 by 10. That's too many tens. Anybody remember what that is? The Holy of Holies is a cube. In the tabernacle, in the temple, the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwells, is an exact cube. And what John is seeing is that the Holy of Holies has broken out from being just a small little place, and God has broken it out and put it into you. He makes each one of you into this city, which is now the Holy of Holies. Look at verse 19. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone, jasper and sapphire and chalcedony and the emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinth, amethyst. 12 gates were 12 pearls. Verse 22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. When Jesus is prophesied that he's about to be born, he's called what? She'll name him Jesus, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Look, I know I just hit you with a fire hose, okay? I've given you lots of information. Let me try to kind of condense it and bring in, pack it back in a little bit. We are the bride of Christ. We are the dwelling that he is building that contains the very presence of God. You know, I've heard different guys before say that they have a great financial relationship with their wife. He makes the money and she spends it. You know, Jesus has everything. And he is saying here through John how he views his bride. Guys, if you're married, you probably view your wife how I do. How I view mine. The most special person in the entire world. She's splendid. I won't go on because I'll embarrass Ruth. She's probably going to duck into the pew already anyway. But I want you to see that this is how Jesus is describing you. He's describing you as precious jewels and pearls and with great glory and grandeur and with every gem under the sun. He's describing you. And oftentimes what we do is we see ourselves as dirty and filthy and no good and we're good for nothing. And that's not what God says about you. What he said is you are costly, you are precious, you are beautiful. You have fine linen, bright and clean, that you are adorned with. And we need to begin to see that all that he has, number one, he's given to us in our cleanness, our righteousness. And all that he has, he's given to us. What he inherits, we inherit. Please let that sink in. It takes faith to believe that. I'm going to tell you, it stretches my faith to believe it. Because I look at what he has and I look at the balance in my bank account and I go, what you have and what I've got are two totally different things. But you receive it by faith. And I'm not saying that God's going to come along and make each person in here a millionaire, but you know what? Whatever you need for the kingdom, he'll give to you. You have to believe it. You have to receive it by faith. You cannot receive it if you're stuck over here believing that you're dirt. If you continually say, I'm just never going to have enough. There's always going to be more month than money. That's what you're believing for. God will give you what you're believing for. I'm not just saying you name it, claim it, whatever you want, blab it and grab it. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is you better get your head straight and start believing who you are in Christ. And then he'll begin to reveal to you, okay, what do you want? What does he want you to have as his son, as his daughter, as his bride? Son and daughter of the Father God and as the bride of Christ. What is he giving you as his inheritance right now? Remember Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Thank you. Both in this age and in the one to come. There's some of you that really need to realize who you are as the bride of Christ. Some of you have been so stuck over here in the dirt that you see yourself that way and you don't ever see yourself quite escaping to the other side. Some of you have seen yourself so stuck into where you've been. I don't know where you've been. That's okay. I don't need to know. God knows. What you've done in your past, who you've been with, who you've associated with, what you've taken into your body that you shouldn't have taken into your body, you know, what you and you don't ever feel like you can measure up to Jesus' standards. What he said is, you know what, you don't have to measure up. I've brought you over here anyway. I loved you enough to just grab you and take you with me. Some of you need to realize that your past is in the past. That whatever it is that you've done back here, it's gone. When you said, I do to Jesus, all that stuff fell off. It's totally gone. And he sees you as his bride, bright and clean, without spot, without wrinkle, adorned with precious jewels. Some of you need to walk away from your past and start seeing yourself who you are in him. Because the past will hold you back. I don't want you held back. Some of you need to realize that he is the one who's building you. He's the one who's putting you in different places. That as you go out from here, you carry the presence and the kingdom of God with you. That every situation you come to on a daily basis, whether it's at work or whether it's with your family, whether it's in the grocery store, whether you go and you're just working out and you run into people on a daily basis, they encounter the kingdom of God when they encounter you. When you reach out and you shake someone's hand, they're shaking hands with the bride of Christ and an envoy of the kingdom of God. Do they feel it and do they know it? You have to know it first. And when you know it, you can start to be, you start to change your thinking and change your actions. And you all of a sudden start realizing, okay, when you come in contact with someone else, you're listening for that still small voice of the Spirit of God saying, okay, Lord, do you want me to talk to them? Is there something you want me to say? Is there an encouraging word for them? Is there a prophetic word for them? Is there something that you need me to pray for them about? If you don't change your thinking, though, and realizing you're taking God with you wherever you go, you're not going to see all the opportunities that come before you on a daily basis. Some of you all need to realize that everything that Jesus has is yours. Everything he has is yours. Some of you need what he has. Some of you, that's peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Some of you, it's freedom. He came to set the captives free. Some of you, it's provision. God says that I am Yahweh Yireh. People say Jehovah Jireh. I am the God who meets you, who provides. Some of you need healing. He says, I'm Yahweh Rapha. I'm the God who heals. I'm the balm of Gilead. Some of you need strength. He says, I'm Yahweh Nisi. I am God, your banner. Some of you need love. He says the banner over you is love. Lord wants you to receive that today. But it starts by realizing that you can have it. If you don't know that it's yours, you're not going to ask for it. You're not going to receive it. But when you begin to realize that everything that Jesus has, his entire inheritance, is yours, then you can begin to receive that and receive that into your heart. I'd like to pray for you this morning. And as I do, if you're one of those three types of people, I want you to receive this prayer in faith and believe that he's going to change your heart. If you're one that you need to get out of the past and realize who you are in Christ, receive this. If you are one who says, you know what, I need to realize that I'm taking the kingdom of God with me wherever I go, and I just don't. I leave it here at church every Sunday. I want you to receive this prayer, and I want you to know that God goes with you. You are his presence extended into the world. Or if there's something that you need today from the Lord that you know is his and should be yours, I want you to receive that from him this morning. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, I pray for each person here today, especially all of those that